designees are present on this 10th day of December 2019 for this rule hearing. This is a formal proceeding that will be recorded. Anyone interested in a copy must make his or her request or arrangements to purchase a copy from the State Records Administrator's office. In order to ensure that the proceedings are accurately recorded, only one person at a time will be allowed to speak. Any person recognized to speak regarding the proposed rulemaking is asked to identify yourself for the record each time you address the hearing officer, which at this time happens to be me, and speak loudly and clearly so that our recorder can pick you up. Should you not speak into the microphone, I've asked James to bring it to my attention. James, right?
Yes.
All right, good. I called James Richard earlier. I want to make sure I get it right now. So James will bring that to my attention. We'll ask you to speak up, but please keep that in mind as you make your comments. The hearing is going to be conducted in the following manner. Dr. Hendricks will present the exhibits. I, as the hearing officer, will rule on the admissibility of the exhibits offered for admission. Exhibits admitted into evidence are available for review by all members of the public. However, exhibits may not be removed from the room today. After Dr. Hendricks offers exhibits and their admission is ruled upon, I'll open the hearing for comments from the audience. The Commission and State Records Administrator do not follow the rules of evidence, but shall, in the interest of efficiency, reserve the right to limit all testimony deemed irrelevant, redundant, or unduly repetitious. Then this decision will be made by me as the hearing officer. We will extend as much latitude as humanly possible, but we would ask that you keep your comments directed to the rule being presented to the Commission today. May I see a show of hands of who is interested in speaking today on the rules as they've been presented? So all none of you can take a number and be prepared to speak when I call your number. After a person has testified or offered comment, I'll permit members of the audience to question that person. Any member of the audience wishing to question that person may do so after being recognized. Each person recognized to speak shall identify her or himself for the record. Comments offered will be considered in preparing the final any final amendments. They may or may not be incorporated into the final version, but I can assure you will be carefully considered. The volume of comments and the effect of the revisions will dictate the effective date of the amendment. Dr. Hendricks, at this time, do you have any exhibits to introduce into evidence?
I have the following exhibits to introduce into evidence. Exhibit A is the notice of the hearing published on September the 24th, 2019 in volume 30, issue 18 of the New Mexico Register. Exhibit B is the notice of rule hearing as posted on the website www.nmcpr.state.mm.us, a website screenshot on paper copy. Exhibit C is the agenda as posted on the same website and is posted outside the rule hearing room. Exhibit D is an email to the Legislative Council Services with notice, regular meeting, and rulemaking. Exhibit E is a posting to the Sunshine Portal with notice of regular meeting and rulemaking. Exhibit F is an email to agency heads, CROWS and RLOs dated September 24th, 2019. Exhibit G is a proposed amendment to 1.13.30.11 NMAC disposition of records and non-records CPR and SRA rule. Exhibit H is a proposed amendment to 1.21.2 NMAC access to public records research in the New Mexico Archives CPR rule.
Dr. Hendricks, any other exhibits to be entered?
There are none.
Okay, exhibits A through H, unless there are objections from the Commission, are hereby entered into the record. At this time, proposed rulemaking will be introduced into record and the floor will be open for testimony and comments from the audience and public. Members of the public and audience may question each witness upon being recognized to speak. This now formally opens the comment period. Are there any comments from the public or audience? Okay. Would anyone wish to comment on the amendment? Let me just say, we're going to present an opportunity for comment on each of these amendments. You're welcome to present or speak at that moment in time. At this time, we'll take any comments on 1.13.30 NMAC disposition of public records and non-records. Any comment? If there are no comments, we'll move on to the next item. Would anyone wish to comment on the amendment to 1.21.2 NMAC retention and disposition of public records, the CPR rule? You could just say it's an awesome amendment. Any comments? No. All right, just check.
May members of the commission comment?
We will open up for a comment from the members of the commission after we do the okay. public comment. Is that all right?
That's fine.
Awesome. Okay. Final call for any comments. Seeing no comments, if there are no more questions or comments, we'll move to close this particular part of the hearing. And we are closing now at 10:09 on this 10th day of December 2019. I would ask that staff, has everybody signed in? I would ask that Exhibit I be marked as the admission, as the attendance sheet as it's presented outside. Any objections? Seeing none, the attendance record shall be Exhibit I and is hereby admitted into the record. Let me just say, any rules adopted by the Commission of Public Records or the State Records Administrator will be filed in accordance with the State Rules Act and the New Mexico Register publication deadlines. Any rules not adopted may be postponed for future discussion at a definite time in the future or may be postponed indefinitely. I'd like to thank everyone present for their robust participation in today's hearing and your attendance today in particular. Let the record show that again that this hearing was adjourned at 10:09 on the 10th day of December 2019. So now moving on to action items, which is when the commission will provide its thoughts, comments, concerns. And I'd like to begin by saying that, you know, part of what we get to do here is to provide and restore and increase people's faith and confidence in government. And part of what that means is that we do everything we can, at least in terms of chair, is to provide accountability and transparency in government. And I think one of the things that we're contemplating today moves us in that direction. And I'm fully supportive in concept of extending and adopting this amendment. Thank you, Dr. Hendricks. This amendment will open it up for full conversation. To give some background and context to this amendment, I can tell you that approximately 6 months ago or so, legal counsel for our commission was contacted by the city of Albuquerque regarding whether or not we supported a one-year retention policy as is was currently in our rules, or whether they were to follow what was presented at an IPRA training hosted by the Office of the Attorney General and the tremendous staff there. It brought to light that we did have an inconsistency and that the rule that we had promulgated was inconsistent with the information that was provided at the trainings and in the IPRA guide that we refer so many stakeholders to on a very regular basis out of this Office of Public Records. The most recent copy, I think, of that guide was 2015, signed and presented by Attorney General Balderas. And so we decided that we would try to come into alignment with that guide by promulgating this amendment to the rule. So this was presented by staff, and that brings us to where we are today. So we thank the city of Albuquerque for being diligent. They obviously were paying attention during the presentation made by your great team, Tanya, and they brought to our attention an inconsistency that was important and very, very relevant. So we appreciate the city of Albuquerque doing that for us. We appreciate the work that the Attorney General's office does to educate the public on IPRA, which is such an important tool for transparency in government. So with that, it brings us to this action item today, which is voting on this proposed amendment. And I know that as we do amendments, any type of amendments potentially have unintended consequences and items that were not contemplated when the amendment is proposed. And so I know I want to start out this discussion by taking some comment from commissioners. But what I'd like to do is take a motion to adopt the amendment. I will then take a second. I'll open it up for conversation and or concerns. And at such point, if concerns and conversation don't bring us to a point where we feel we're ready to pass or fail that motion, we will then contemplate moving this to the next commission meeting for adoption after any items or adjustments need to be made in the amendment as it was presented today and published in accordance with the rules of the state of New Mexico. Does that make sense, commissioners? Colleagues?
Yes.
Okay, great. So I'd like to entertain a motion to approve the proposed commission rules amendments as presented.
Mr. Chair, if I may take a motion separately with regard to the two separate amendments. I think that they're, the substance of the two separate amendments are significantly different and can be voted upon separately.
I don't object. You can chair will entertain a motion to adopt the amendment 1.13.30 NMAC disposition of public records and non-records CPR and SRA rule.
So moved.
We have a motion on the floor and a second, or may I have a second?
A second.
Thank you, and a second. We'll now open it up for conversation and discussion, and I think I'd like to start with the Honorable Lead Deputy Attorney General of the State of New Mexico. It's not the Chief Deputy Attorney General of the State of New Mexico.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. With regards to this specific rule regarding on-site destruction of records, we have no concerns with this rule. We thank the Commission for proposing this rule, and of course, John, the work that he's done with this Commission. Again, we fully support this rule and plan to move forward with it.
Thank you. Madam Deputy, Commissioner, any further comments, conversation, or discussion?
Mr. Chair, with respect to Section D of 11330, Section 11, the only question that I had was, is it necessary, or is it in some other location, provided how long the certificate of destruction should be maintained for on-site destruction?
Thank you, Commissioner. A good question, Dr. Edwards.
Leo, would you address this, please?
Chair, and Member Commissioner, we actually have it in our retention schedule, the custody of records. It's a 25-year retention order.
Leo, I'm going to ask that you come forward. You look great standing there, very authoritative, but I'm going to ask you to come forward so that we can pick you up on the microphone. Thank you.
Chair, Member of the Commission, I'm Leo Zerk, Records Management Division Director. We do have a retention schedule for custody of records that's 25 years from the date of destruction. So that would be the retention on that item.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. I appreciate that. I suspected there was something. I just wanted to have that on the
record. All right, Leo goes one for one. Thank you. Any further questions, concerns? Seeing none, all those in favor of the motion as presented, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed, same sign. Okay, motion passes. Now, as it relates to 1.21.2 NMAC retention and disposition of public records, CPR rule, the chair will entertain a motion to pass.
So moved.
We have a motion. Do we have a second?
Second.
We have a motion and a second. This time I'll open up for conversation. And as I did, unless there's objection, I would like to defer to our Chief Deputy Attorney General of New Mexico.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. With regards to this rule, again, we applaud the Commission and the Chairman for bringing this to our attention. We feel that at the Attorney General's office, this is a very important issue, and we appreciate the transparency that has been put forth by the amendment of this rule. As the Chief Law Enforcement Officer of the state, the Attorney General is tasked with enforcing IFRA, as we all are aware. And I do have a concern, as currently submitted with the rule, regarding enforcement. I would respectfully request that, as we do have the ability to do and have the discretion when enacting any rule, that we place an effective date, not merely when it's published in the register within the general 30 days, but to give state agencies a longer time period within which to come into compliance with this rule. This is a significant change from what we have taught state agencies regarding IFRA retention, so possibly even a six-month period, maybe an effective date of June or July, like legislative actions happen, might be something that this commission might consider with regards to an effective date. One other area of concern that I would like to raise with this rule is that, as currently drafted, it indicates that it would change the retention from the date the request is fulfilled or denied. Again, coming from the Attorney General's office under an enforcement mechanism, we feel that the language from the date that the request is fulfilled is vague and should be tightened up. As many of us are aware who do the IFRA process, many times you'll send out an inspection letter either giving an amount that individuals may pay for copies or a date of an inspection to come in, and quite frankly, individuals just don't come in and review those records. Therefore, it can be deemed that it's never been fulfilled. So I would ask the commission to consider the possibility of amending this language, whether to determine the date that the inspection letter is sent out, or to use some language that mirrors the IPRA regarding the denial letter. If we use a more standard date, then I think that that would help agencies determine when their destruction date may be. And lastly, just general compliance with the retention schedule. Correspondence is something that comes right to mind when I look at this, and generally on a one-year basis, that I think that, again, in educating state agencies with regard to this retention period, we might want to just look at those other areas within the retention schedule and specifically either eliminate this from that correspondence area or designate a change for those things as well. Just look at it as a whole to make sure that we give state agencies the best ability to comply. And thank you again, Mr. Chairman, for the opportunity to raise those general concerns that the AG's office has. We again are very grateful for bringing this forward and giving us an opportunity.
Thank you, Madam Deputy Commissioner. My assistant, this Office of the Attorney General, I just want to say that over the course of the last 5 years, has done a really great job of doing outreach as it relates to IPRA training, and your commitment to transparency in government has been consistent and has been a source of light for many agencies and has been enlightening for others, and that's really important. And our office at the Office of the State Auditor has adopted three values, and I can just tell you it's accountability, transparency, and celebrating excellence in government. And we don't take any one of those three things lightly. And so for me, I actually am really honored to be in this place at this time as we really do work to protect New Mexicans who may find themselves contemplating any actions and have the need for public records. And this goes a long way to doing that. Your concerns, Commissioner, Madam Deputy, are very, very well stated. I think absolutely valid, and happy to take any other questions, comments, or concerns at this time.
Mr. Chair, I just have a question on 1.2 section 708. The proposed amendment creates a classification for veterinarian clients' patient files. I do not see that there's any retention schedule for that particular category, and I don't know if the intent is to incorporate this into the rule at present and then at another time incorporate a schedule, or if we should consider incorporating a schedule now for retention for that, those types of records.
Leah, you have a blank stare.
Leah, were you able to hear?
Yes.
Okay. Don't tell me you're going to go 1-for-2. Come on.
So as far as this amendment, that is new text. So that would be new part of the schedule that would be added in if adopted.
I'm sorry, what?
That text for the veterinarian client patient records is new text, and it wasn't part of the schedule. And if approved and added by the commission, it would be added to the schedule.
Oh, to a regular schedule?
Yes, the retention schedule.
Okay. So it will have a designated time period?
Yes, that will establish the retention requirement for those records.
I just didn't see the text on that.
It wasn't there before. That's why it's all underlined, and this would be brand new text.
So this would be the new text.
Oh, I didn't see that. I'm sorry. Okay. I see that. Thank you.
Commissioner, you good?
What's up?
You're good?
I'm good.
2-for-2, Leo. You're doing good. Why don't you just stay right there? I like having you. I might have you for the next meeting. You're doing good. Okay, any other questions, comments, or concerns?
Mr. Chair, members of the commission, I'm sorry, I'm kind of coming in late in the game on this change. I appreciate the chairman's introduction on the basis for the change specifically to the public records request. I was unaware of that. I was unaware of a lot of the communication regarding this. When I saw this, I did see that there was a large change, and I expressed that to the secretary. The secretary is as well as committed to transparency as we at the Secretary of State's office have many records that are subject to retention for a long period of time, many of which are permanent, many of which are of great public interest. So our, the secretary's concern is just where this came from. There was you heard today no public comment on such a huge change that would affect all agencies, and how we respond, how we search, and how we produce public records. And so I appreciate the Attorney General's office's comments, and I believe the secretaries are in line with that. I also do acknowledge the hard work that public records administration generally has in trying to update these retention rules, and it's very, very important. But the Secretary of State's office is concerned with the immediacy of the rollout and the immediate impact in how its office and all state agencies would have to respond dealing with public records. And so part of this is my own lack of understanding of the basis for why this happened. I was just hoping there would be some public comment from members of the public, both on the advocacy side and then also state agencies, because they are the ones who are affected. They are the ones who the penalties would be assessed against. And so I am encouraged that, at least from the Attorney General's office, that maybe we can find a way to clarify, to protect agencies in handling and responding fully to IPA requests, to having a process in place to retain properly records that otherwise may have lived their useful life. I mean, retention really is about this commission and the state's acknowledgement that public records need to be retained, but they need to be retained for their business needs or their legal use of life. And at this particular time, anytime we change this, the retention period, we are acknowledging that there is a strong public policy for why we need to extend the legal obligations and the useful life of a public record. Otherwise, the state has empowered this commission to state that we don't need to retain that record anymore. And so I wish I had a better understanding of the public policy really driving this extension of time. And because it seems like, at least from 2015, it has been 1 year. I'm sure before we went to the new system, it was also 1 year as well. It seems to me that there are some challenges with the Public Records Act and retention and IPRAs, just generally with the different definition of the word and what records are responsible to be retained. And so I'm encouraged by everyone's participation in the comments, especially from the Secretary, from the Attorney General's office, regarding making sure that if this is the policy we want to go forward, we want to make sure that it's clear, and so that state agencies can properly administer and properly produce records without being subject to liabilities and the strict penalties under IPRA. So, thank you.
Well, thank you, Designee Lang. I'll just say that the public policy is really driven by the legal system on this change, and the good work that the Attorney General's office has done trying to identify where is that sweet spot. Half this table, well, almost half the table are lawyers, at least on this portion, and I can tell you that there's no way for us to absolutely wrap our arms around what a date certain would be for preserving a document so that any type of litigation could be addressed with that document, because statute of limitations toll at different points in time. But generally speaking, a statute of limitations in New Mexico is 3 to 4 years, sometimes 6 on contract claims. Again, any of those can be told for any number of reasons. But I think that's where the Attorney General did a good job of, in the Attorney General's guide on IPRA, stating that probably 3 to 4 years is the appropriate manner in which to do and address document preservation. This addresses that 4-year window. And so in terms of answering kind of your, hopefully not totally rhetorical, because I'm giving you an answer anyway, but your point and question as to the public policy, that's what drives this initial inclusion in the Attorney General's guide and us wanting to be in alignment with that guide. That's where we got the 4 years. And again, thanks to the city of Albuquerque for pointing out the inconsistency, because I do think it was an important item for them to bring to the table. So with that, I have to say that I think that we have to do a little massaging on this before it's ready for adoption, particularly as it relates to the very specific items that Madam Deputy and Commissioner brought up as to the effective date. And I'll just tell you that generally speaking, I agree with you in terms of implementation. We'll need that more like 180-day window from the time we promulgate the rule. And we probably do need to address the issue of what is exactly fulfilled or denied, so that we don't have an ongoing horizon that continues to move out because it hasn't been fulfilled or denied based on any potential definition. And then the schedule, making sure that it does correspond. And so I think what we'd like to do is to be able to entertain a motion at this time to table action on this and place it on our next meeting's agenda for adoption. And I would ask that staff work with the Attorney General's office, specifically with John, who's done such a great job and has been consistent at the table with our commission. And we're always glad when he can join us. And also under the guidance of the chief deputy to make sure that we address the concerns that she presented this morning. Would that be appropriate, Dr. Hendricks?
Mr. Chair, may I address a question to council? Would we be continuing the rule hearing? He's proposed that it be tabled. What mechanically exactly, what are we doing here?
Mr. Chair, so this is very similar to the rule hearing, I think, that happened at the May meeting, where the rule hearing was completed and there were a variety of concerns that were raised in the public comment portion of that. And what the commission at that time had voted to do was effectively to take the rule under advisement, to take the record under advisement, to mull it over and get an opinion from their legal counsel on how best to proceed in light of the public comment. So this, I think, would be very similar. You're not required to adopt it today, just because it's on the agenda. I think my recommendation would be, in line with the comments that the commission has, the members of the commission has raised, would be to table it, put this on the next meeting agenda. In the meantime, I will work with the staff and with my office to prepare basically a memo, like I did at the last meeting, that goes through the rules and makes suggestions as far as how to better clarify the language and satisfy the concerns that have been raised.
Thank you.
So at this time, the chair will entertain a motion to table action on this proposed amendment.
So moved.
Okay, do you have a second?
Second.
No discussion. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, same sign. So we'd ask staff to place this on the next agenda for our February proposed. We have a proposed date of February 26th for our next commission meeting. And if that doesn't work with your schedule, Madam Chief Deputy, please let us know so that we can address. Because we definitely want you present for that, and any of the designees that are going to be continuing, that are continuing designees, are going to be continuing designees, please let us know if that doesn't work with your schedule. And we've already confirmed with Secretary Ortiz, who generally appears in person and not by designee, and it does work with his schedule, so we do know that he's available on that date. So I'd ask that you contact staff immediately if you're here representing and your principal intends to join us at the next meeting. I'd ask that you check with your principal's calendar now and not wait till the week before so that we can get a good sense of whether we need to adjust. All right, makes sense? All right, so we'll put that on the agenda for the next meeting on February 26th, tentatively set for February 26th.